Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God's mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, no matter what you may have done or failed to do, God waits to welcome you home. With faith in God's endless mercy and trust in God's boundless love, let us call to mind and confess our sins, first in the silence of our hearts, and then together. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. People of God, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, forgive us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Let us sing the hymn, Be Thou My Vision, hymn number 291 in your Crimson Harvard hymnal.
People of God, Christ said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Let us go and share the peace of Christ with one another. You may be seated. Good morning on this rainy, sunny day. My name is Reverend Calvin Jones, assistant minister here in the Memorial Church, and it is my pleasure to welcome you to our Sunday summer service. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter where you are from, no matter what you believe, no matter who you love, and no matter how you are joining us, whether online, on the radio, or here in our sanctuary, you are welcome here, and we are indeed grateful to have you. Today marks the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. Our preacher today is the Reverend Rita Powell, chaplain for the Harvard Episcopal Community. Reverend Powell, thank you for being with us today. We are looking forward to what God will say through you. Our worship leaders today are Courtney Godwin and yours truly. Our soloist today is Sophia Larabors, class of 2026, who is also accompanied by our own Edward Jones. Today's first lesson will be read by David Foster, and the second lesson by Minister Courtney. We will be holding worship services during the summer term through Sunday, July the 30th. If you are new to the Memorial Church, please introduce yourself to us after service. We would love to know you by name. To learn more about all the happenings in our community's life, please sign up for our weekly newsletter and visit our website. Friends, our offering today goes to support the work of this church, especially our ministries to students and to our neighbors through the Grants Committee. The collection will begin from the front of the sanctuary. Let us offer to God the gifts of our lives and labor.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, beginning at the 10th verse. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Here ends the lesson.
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13, beginning at the first verse. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed. Some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Here ends the lesson.
Let us pray. God of love, God of justice, God of compassion, the God who sends water to our seeds. Today we hold our seeds as we sit on the cusp of infinite possibilities. Today we hold our seeds with the hope that our world can become a world where hate is vanquished by love. Today, O God, we hold our seeds of love, seeds of radical hospitality and inclusion. Today, O God, we hold our seeds of change and liberation. God, today we pray that you would help us to place our seeds into fertile ground, where the light from your Son, Jesus Christ, will shine, where we will do the work of justice and till the ground. God, help us to plant our seeds into fertile ground. Help us to plant our seeds that they may impact our world, church, community, and neighborhood. This morning, O God, we pray for your church, for this space of grace, that it may be the light of love for all people. As a community of faith, show us where your glory is to be found amongst the least of these. We pray that your glory may give to your people everywhere the energy to shine wherever there is darkness, disunity, persecution, or despair. We pray for the nations of the world that their rulers and elected officials may be wise and compassionate, that they may plant seeds of peace. We pray for those who suffer illness or oppression or neglect, that our care for them may bring your healing and liberation. God, we pray for your creation, that we may be wise and obedient stewards of it. We pray for an end to the divisions and inequalities that scar your creation, particularly the barriers to freedom faced by God's children throughout the world because of gender, race, religion, or refugee status. That all who have been formed in God's image may have equality in pursuit of the blessings of creation. Today we hold our seeds of love. We pray for all those who are in search of you, that they may walk by the lamp of your Spirit and be at peace in your light now and forever. Grant to them health and wholeness, peace and joy. God, as we continue to sow our seeds of justice into fertile soil, we are believing God for a harvest that will produce hope, love, kindness, compassion, justice, peace, goodness, and gentleness for all of humankind. Give us all, O Lord, a greater love of your holiness. Rain on us a greater delight in your mystery and a greater joy in seeking your presence. We ask it through Jesus Christ, who revealed your will to us and who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And the scripture ends by saying, "Let anyone with ears listen." The sound of the rain is hard to miss. It's a good sound, a sound of varied percussion and texture and intensity. And in a drought or a desert culture, surely the sign of mercy and relief. But this week, here in New England, it's impossible to hear these rain words without thinking of Vermont and the flood disaster there, where rivers overflow combined with sewage and household toxins makes the waters contaminant as well as agent of destruction to the homes and farms built in its reach. What might be a natural event feels like an unnatural one because of our human role in it, both in the toxins and the sewage contributions, the dams we've made that change the course of the rivers, and of course, the global impact of human industry. In this same week, we've watched extreme heat wreak havoc in the southern parts of the country and in Mexico. And we are burdened with the knowledge that this furious and inhospitable weather is on a steady rise because of things we do which disrupt the natural order of the world. And that's not even all that we do wrong, is it? This week, I've been reading Matthew Desmond's book, Poverty by America. I recommend it, in which he shows how the lives of people like me and some of you are bound up in millions of Americans suffering long-term racist poverty, oppressing a huge part of our people, poisoning our own ecosystem. These are sicknesses that we are living with. Now, I suspect every single one of you listening here today is well aware of and concerned with and grieving these deep, intractable problems that we are facing as a nation, as a planet. It seems very foolhardy to try to preach hope into that weather pattern, this context, but by God, the readings today demand exactly that. Let us see if we may dare to receive a sacred message of joy, of peace, even hope from these words of God. So turning to this passage from Isaiah, after the rain part, we see a poetic analogy is made between God's word and the sweet, trustworthy rhythms of plants growing on the earth. As rain falls and waters the earth, bringing forth sprouting plants, so is my word, so is God's word. God's word is like the life cycle itself. And as this cycle of life, rain to earth, to plant, to table, God's word does not go unheard. It does not return to God empty. God's creation will accomplish that which it has been made for. Even the simple truth of being, unbreakably bound to the life cycle, we, the earth, fulfill divine purpose. As much as our current state drives us to lament and fear separation from the green growing plant world life cycle, the vegetal world never stopped teaching humans, reaching to us through our dreams and visions, and we never stopped learning by listening to it. These last words are from the book Thus Spoke the Plant by Dr. Monica Gagliano, part of a growing stream of scientists and philosophers like Michael Martyr and David Abram, who are turning to the world of plants to learn lessons about how to be better than the humans we think we can be. Now, plants in the normative Western stream of culture that I am a part of have long been considered less than human. We can hang that one on Aristotle, De Anima. But they come into play, this wisdom of plants, they come into play often in the dreams and visions of the Bible as signs of the spirit, guideposts of the more than human. Jesus points to the lilies of the field as the ideal believers in God, the ones whose trust is perfect and who are radiant with divine beauty as a result. Paul's magnificent imagining of the resurrected body teaches that our spiritual resurrected body is like the plant, like the oak tree, which arises from the acorn of this body. And in today's texts, we are taught that the Word of God is not a singularly human form of reading and writing, but is written into the rain, into the ground, into the seedling and the head of grain. And certainly, in the midst of high summer, when my garden is a fireworks display of St. John's wort, coneflower, raspberry canes, and all kinds of thyme, it seems plausible to learn from, to be taught by these beings. And if Isaiah's prophecy is right, these beings are indeed none other than the very words of God, who do not return to God as a failure, but whose beautiful lives are in fact the signs of God's presence. Plants are a memorial to God, a sign that shall not be cut off. As long as we have plants to learn from and be with, we have ways of remembering God. Evagrius, a hero of mine, the 4th century desert philosopher, a monastic who spent his life contemplating in the land of Egypt, had an idea like this. In the Great Letter, he wrote that all of creation should be understood as a kind of sacred writing, that the world around us is God's love letter to us, written to call us back to our truest selves, to awaken our hearts, to lead us home in peace. It is our spiritual work, then, to learn to read this writing, to contemplate these words, these letters of water and air, light and color, harsh and mild weathers, birds, insects, star patterns, rock formations, to discern the words of God. If we can do this, if we can learn to read the Word of God in the world around us, then we shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all of the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Can it be that simple? Yes, that is the good news of today. Go outside and look and listen and be taught by everything you see and hear. Let them that have ears listen. Go out in joy, be led back in peace. Now, lest you think I'm being too sunny on this rainy day, let's return to climate crisis, poverty in America, and the gospel parable for today. We will have to do more than look at flowers to work through and heal some very concrete wounds and illnesses we are hurting from. In Poverty by America, Desmond describes a number of very realistic interventions we could make to change the landscape of systemic poverty and racism in our society today. But he also describes the overwhelming chorus he often hears in response to these proposals. Folks are always saying to him that even if we make changes to our system, people would still find a way to beat it. You hear that with climate crisis, too. Even if we make these changes, the problem is beyond our grasp, and this leads to a pervasive sense of despair and hopelessness. Now, Jesus today gives us a word of God on this very topic. Drawing from the sacred order of plants, Jesus offers something like a mathematics of hope. In the parable of the sower, Jesus shows that most of the word of God, these seeds, will not succeed. Falling on very predictable types of obstacles, rocky ground, thorns, birds eating them, most of the seeds will not thrive. This is like the predictions of the predictable challenges to implementing anti-poverty measures or climate rescue initiatives. You could probably name what would be the thorns or the rocky ground. The point is, built into the grammar of God's word, which will not fail, the grammar of plants, is a lot of failure. But the tiny amount of seed that does sprout and grow produces in wild amounts. This is the sacred math equation of hope. Yes, we will likely fail, even as much as 80% of the time, and that is part of the equation. God's word factors in a huge amount of failure, and the success of the vision of God is not shaken by that. For when the seeds do grow, the return is abundance we can barely dream of. Thunderous volume of tomatoes when they start coming in, mulberries raining on the sidewalks, iridescent dragonflies everywhere you look. This is a summer sermon, so I'm going to bring in one last image from the green grass of left field, and that's baseball. As a lifelong member of Red Sox Nation, there are many things I can commend about the spiritual implications of this fine pastime. But today, I would just like to call attention to the way in which the mathematics of baseball matches the mathematics of hope from Jesus' parable. In baseball, it is part of the game to fail a lot. Most of the time, in fact. In professional baseball, if you fail at the plate 7 times out of 10, you are one of the elite stars of the field. You can fail 8 or 9 times out of 10 and still make a valuable contribution to the team. In fact, you can fail game after game and then hit that 1-2-out bases loaded single in the 9th and help your team win the game. So, friends, without dodging the ailments we are beset by, let us listen to the word of God. Let us go out from here in joy. Let us contemplate and be taught by the sacred grammar of plants and even the baseball games of summer. Let us work with diligence, undaunted by failure, secure in the knowledge that we are part of God's flourishing word that will not fail. And may we be led home in peace. Amen.
Please rise in body or spirit and join in our closing hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, hymn number 226.
Thank you.
May the God of the heavens and the earth fill you today with God's blessing, that of joy, of peace, and even hope, and go forth from this place filled with the knowledge of God's love and light. Amen.